We're glad you're here with us this morning as we continue in our quest to move from the world's influence on our inner life and our outer life. We want to live from our inheritance of truth. On the Divine Science Federation International website, there's a daily study article that comes to your computer automatically when you sign up. And recently, Reverend Pat Beach, one of my teachers from the Divine Science School, wrote one of these daily studies articles. And she mentions three stages of the search for a spiritual solution to solve any outer problems. And probably these stages probably relate to each of us. The first stage, and the reason most of us turn to divine science, is we want to see a change in our outer lives. Maybe our health, our pocketbook, where we go on our daily path. We've tried everything else on our own with no change. We almost feel divine science may be our last hope. So the first stage in finding our way spiritually is this new idea that our freedom does not come from outside us. However, we've always thought this. We've grown up thinking it. It can sort of be capitalized because I remember growing up, there was a black and white TV program called The Millionaire. And James Barefoot Tipton would send his associate to knock on a stranger's door and present them with a check for $1 million. And that check today may be double that. So it just seemed like all of your problems could be solved if something from the outer world came to you. However, divine science teaches that all change is from within us first. We have a sentence, first in mind, then in manifestation. And when we can begin to accept that, the second stage is learned that our outer conditions are caused by our habitual thinking and feeling. The Bible calls it habitation. We begin to notice, how do we react to our world? And if it's negative, we notice if we're blaming someone else for something in our lives we don't want, or we're resisting it, then we decide, is this what we want to see in our outer world? If it's something we don't want, we believe our freedom from unwanted conditions or experiences or relationships can come when we change our negative attitudes and beliefs through thinking new thoughts that set up new patterns of mental and emotional control. This makes us think that our efforts are required to change the outer. And only once we learn how to do this properly, then our freedom will come. And sometimes this practice helps. We feel better, more peaceful. But then the problem usually remains. And Pat Beach talks about another level, the third level, is an even higher awareness that nothing in the outer world needs changing. It is only our perception of outer conditions. That's the error. And what we see as suffering, as negative, we are only seeing part of the picture. Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance. Why? Because we don't see the full picture. It's just like helping the caterpillar get out of his hard carcass really harms the butterfly, because it's in that struggle that his wings get strong and he can fly. It's our perception. And in this third stage, we begin to realize that God and God activity is pure good, always, from before the beginning, before the world was. The world is actually filled with light before the sun was. Our world and all that in it is from God. Its substance is of God. And it's all happening now. People knew a blind man from birth, and then he met Jesus and he could see. They said, oh, Jesus healed him. Jesus resurrected Lazarus after 3 days being dead. He healed from afar the Roman centurion's servant. That's what they said. But what really was happening, Jesus said he, the human being, had done nothing. It was always that way. It was the Christ that opened our eyes to see the perfection that was always there, but hidden because we saw God and blindness, duality, original sin. Jesus said he didn't do anything. He said it was the Father within. This term that is synonymous with the Christ. And it is the Christ that revealed God's good of sight already in place. This third phase knows that our freedom to live in God's world, where God performs all the setup and unfoldment through man, sometimes with us, sometimes through others, through unlimited spiritual power, Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Just think of feeding 5,000 people from an inventory of a boy's lunch. In today's New Testament Bible reading, the disciples had gone back to work after the resurrection of Jesus. He had appeared to them several times. However, they hadn't received any instruction about what was next. They were actually fishermen. And from the reading, this is in John 21, Peter said, I'm going back to fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. And so they got into a boat. They fished all night. They caught nothing. And then morning came. And Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples didn't recognize him. And Jesus said, did you catch anything? And they said, no. And so this main man, this stranger, said, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And they did. And they were not able to draw in the net because it was so full of fish. It's interesting that the disciples did not recognize the man calling to them on the shore, and yet they didn't challenge him. When he told them to cast the net on the other side of the boat, no one yelled back, what good will that do? They could have argued they'd been out all night, not caught anything, and water from one side of the boat was the same as the water on the other side of the boat. They didn't do that. Instead, they were drawn to do as the stranger said and caught so many fish. The net was full, but it didn't break. The lesson for us this morning is the title of today's lesson, Right Where You Are. The disciples had spent all night doing the same move that failed. They kept casting the net and they didn't catch any fish. When they made a small change, they got their results. They weren't told, you know, if you go 5 miles downstream, they're really catching a lot of fish. That would have been a big change. This was just a small change for a different result. For us, 2,000 years later, we're told to make a change in our thought and feeling. Go higher. If a situation seems unmovable, raise your perception. Raise your thought and feeling by telling God you are ready to put yourself wholeheartedly in his presence everywhere, because that's the truth. You're already there. You're already in God's unconditional love. And you are a channel for God's wisdom and peace. Be ready to believe with all your heart that God's wisdom and power is always working behind the scenes, no matter what the situation looks like. In summary, be at peace. Even when you don't understand how this could be so, when the suffering is so great, just believe it is only part of the picture. Remember that the disciples thought that their leader was killed because he couldn't save himself. They had invested the past 3 years of their lives in believing what Jesus taught, believing that he was the Christ, the longed-for Messiah, and they thought it was over, that worldly power had taken control. And yet, right where they were, a small change made the glorious reunion with their beloved master. It was all true. They were right to follow this extraordinary Christ for a time living in a human form. And this is our story, right where we are. Stop the pattern of understanding and repetition that keeps bringing the unwanted condition. Instead, see it with God fully present. It too is part of God's presence. Trust that this is so. Let us pray. Loving Creator, we are filled with gratitude that you made us and sustain us always. So it is. Amen.